Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05. It's going to be a little bit of a rainy day. We'll get to that in a second. March the 24th. Here, phone lines here are 530-605-4567, or you can listen to us via the internet at kcnr1460.com and also join our chat room. Begin being one of the chat pack in our hundreds of, and begin providing hundreds of comments this morning, as do many others. Looks like it's going to be a nasty day, Bad Bob.
Absolutely, Carl. National Weather Service now calling for gusts up to 70 miles an hour by late this morning, depending on where you're at, and heavy rain throughout the day. If you don't have a reason to be out, stay in, for goodness sake. Right now it is 46 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo. The Weather Report, always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. The weather's not brought to you by Anselmo's, especially as bad weather. When it gets to be nice spring weather, then the weather is brought to you by Anselmo's. In fact, Linda has taken your advice, and she is on assignment today, getting ready for her show tonight, which should hit about the same time the 60-mile-per-hour wind should be hitting. But I am joined by my guest co-host and my partner in crime today, Mark Beecham. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Carl. This is an ungodly hour.
See, I bet you didn't even know your heart beat at this time in the morning, did you?
It beats a lot slower than it is now.
Well, anyway, I'm really glad that Mark's here today.
How does your wife, I mean, you're an old military guy, so you're used to getting up early, right? But Linda comes from a background of Las Vegas nightclubs, blah, blah, blah. How does she do with deal with these hours? This is ridiculous. You have to get up at what, 5 o'clock to get in here?
Yeah, we usually hit about 5. Yeah, 5:15. The dog usually comes over and elk killer sits on my face.
So is she like comatose at that time?
No. She gets up and she's right there. But we have our deal that we have in the morning. I'll get up and take care of the dog, take the dog out and stand out there in the windstorms. Linda, you know, gets us coffee or juice going, and then. But it's something you just get used to. I mean, we've been doing it now for about 15 months.
Didn't Linda grow up on a ranch?
Well, she did, and yeah. She did. So it wasn't always like this. So it was just the last 30 years or so of her life, 30, 32 years of her life.
Okay, so she's used to milking the cows then at 5 a.m.
I don't know if she's milked any cows, but she's been out there building fences and riding horses and working in the gardens and all that. And then, of course, when she was working in Vegas and these other places, they had late shows, so they would be able to sleep in. But for her, she's always kind of gotten up early. But this is at a certain point. Hey, let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, except it's raining again.
I just wanted to know if Mr. Beecham wanted some cheese with that wine. I start my day at 4:30 Monday through Friday and work a 10 to 12 hour shift, so he's not getting a whole lot of sympathy for this old boy.
You know, he's just kind of, he's thinking about what he's going to say here.
If you want to bring that cheese by, that'd be great.
Well, you know what, the thing is, just don't pick on my guest like that, Jay, just because you and I get up early. You know, great thoughts happen later in the day. You know,
there you go.
You know, Mark Beecham thinks before he speaks, unlike me. I just have to keep going.
Yeah. Now, of course, I peak by 7 a.m. and then I'm done.
You know, it's terrible if your whole day is over at 9. You know, the rest of the day is just a series of bad decisions.
It's funny. Speaking of bad decisions, I'm sitting there looking outside the window going, man, this is global warming. I sure don't want to see global cooling.
Climate change. We've changed the name to climate change. Come on.
Oh, that's right. That way it can mean whatever you want it to mean, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yep.
Anyway, I just wanted to say hi. You guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Jay's our yellow cab guy, our philosopher.
I have a weather-related question. Bob may be able to help out on this.
Mm-hmm.
NOAA has, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has got a radio station in
yes.
most counties or whatever
yes.
that gives emergency broadcast mm-hmm. information. How does one get that in Shasta County without having a special weather radio?
Well, what you need, there's an online way to listen to it as well. I'm not sure of the website, but the weather radios are pretty darn cheap. You can pick up one at Radio Shack for about $30-$40. And they actually have what's called the same alert. When they put out a thunderstorm or a flash flood warning or whatever, it will sound off, or you can turn it on manually. You can pick them up at, like I said, Radio Shack, and I think that they have some at Best Buy that are endorsed by the Red Cross. It's a handy thing to have, especially in times like these. And it'll, like I said, it sounds an alert in the event of an emergency, and my opinion is it's worth the investment.
Well, you know, when you speak NOAA, I thought you were talking about ARCs out here.
Could be.
Hey, we have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Linda. Linda's on assignment, but we're here with Mark Beecham, and he has got a number of things that he would like to talk about. We've got some great guests coming in today. So join us after these messages. Radio on KCNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 7:14 in the morning on March the 24th. It is 43 degrees, I believe, or 44 degrees. Bob keeps hiding the weather from me.
I was looking at the
going
weather.
To be, it's going to be raining today. It's 46 degrees. We're going to have bad storms today. We're going to be talking about huge winds. So take a look outside. Take a look outside and make sure you've got everything battened down and that you have the numbers to those agencies you may have to call for down power lines. Our guest, Mark Beecham. We get lots of questions in our chat room. The first one is, would you ever consider taking a higher-up position in the Record Searchlight, Mark?
Well, first of all, I don't work for the Record Searchlight. I'm a contributor to the Record Searchlight. I worked at the paper back when I was going to high school, and then I left Reading for about 30 years. And then when I came back to Reading, I went back to work for the Record Searchlight for about 3 years. I left full-time employment there in early 2007. So I am a contributor at this point, and I have no plans to go back to work there. Now, if they were to call and offer me a position of some kind, I'd have to consider it, but I'm not considering one, and I don't expect that there's one on the horizon, but I appreciate the question.
Yeah, I think, you know, people see your name in there and appreciate what you write. You know, just today, if you look at the Record Searchlight, that... And here's the problem with having a paper. As things are breaking during the day or in the morning early, you can't do anything about it. So much of the stuff we talked about yesterday, including their editorial today, was discussed all day yesterday, and then they have to write for today what really happened yesterday at some point.
Well, one word, Carl. Reading.com.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about the paper. But if you look at Reading.com right now, Reading.com is the paper that's out right now.
Well,
During the day, it catches up.
Right? It is and it isn't. I mean, there's a lot of breaking news in Reading.com during the day, and I don't, you know, I'm not plugging the Record Searchlight because I used to work there. Their website is the go-to website in Northern California for breaking news. There's nobody else that even comes close.
Yeah, during the day.
Yeah.
But again, they still get stuck there at some point, which is. But I guess that's the way it's always going to be if you're going to have a paper. And then our local TV station was off for like an hour today, and I imagine it has something to do with the weather, that's real unusual.
Yeah, the NPR station out of Chico was down for like 3 days, and they're back up this morning, but with this weather, it's going to be interesting to see if they manage to stay on it. It's tough to keep this stuff going when the power goes out and lines go down and all that fun
stuff. Yeah, we went off the air yesterday for like 15 minutes. We had to make a run down there, splash the water, and reset our transmitter because of lightning strikes. Okay. What do you want to talk about today, Martin?
Well, speaking of the newspaper, there was an article on the front page of the local section that I thought was worth teeing up here a little bit. Seems that there is a proposal by a couple in the Hidden Hills neighborhood off of Churn Creek to open a bed and breakfast that would cater primarily to congregants or visitors to Bethel Church. And curious to hear what... your readers or your listeners have to think about this, because Bethel is not my cup of religious tea by any means, but whenever I've met people from Bethel or seen them, they seem to be pretty clean cut, and I can't imagine a bed and breakfast catering to Bethel people would be anywhere near as deleterious to a particular neighborhood as, say, a group home or a house being rented by a bunch of
recovering types
or unrecovered teenage types, you know,
which we've had reports about.
Sure. Yeah. So well, I mean,
this was brought up just a little bit yesterday, and well, I think what the problem is, and this is one of the people I think is in our chat room actually lives across the street from this area or has a house around there, that they were concerned about the traffic. And I think there's also some misconceptions about it, that people, once they go to a bed and breakfast, can just stay there. And I don't think they can. I think there's like a week limit.
It sounds like from the newspaper.
Yeah, from what it sounds like, yeah. There.
But the Bethel operation, again, I'm not saying it's my cup of tea by any means. Some people say it's a cult. I'm sort of agnostic, so to speak, on that. But they seem to be a fairly clean-cut group of people who come into town and are doing their thing, and I wouldn't mind having a Bethel B&B in my neighborhood compared to the alternatives.
Yeah, well, you know, and you can look at across the street at this house where I'm at. For as far as an alternative is, they're called squatters, but they're still, you know, trying to get them out. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I know we've got people on the line getting ready to talk some more. Calling Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, so Mark Beecham's here as my co-host and doing a great job. It's 7:19 in the morning on March the 24th. It's 46 degrees, and yes, that is rain out there. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. Mark Beecham is here. 7:23 in the morning, March the 24th, 45 degrees. It's raining. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Don't call the 800 number. He's a dish satellite guy. 1345 Liberty Street. He's local. He's a veteran. He does great work, and he guarantees his work. That's Doug Tooley at 244-1988, BNT Satellite. Okay, let's go to the phones. Ruth, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Mark. It is early, but, you know, got to tell you, the wind had us up early this morning.
Well, you know, it's we could start hearing it. We have wind chimes that are, you know, usually pretty cool. I've taken them down for the last 3 days. I mean, it's like machine guns.
I'm not allowed to have them at my house.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like hearing machine guns going off. Okay. All right, what you have, Ruth?
Well, I just wanted to say to Mark that regarding the Bethel issue up there in Hidden Hills, that it really isn't about Bethel. It isn't about the people that go to Bethel. It really isn't about opposing the bed and breakfast, because the folks that want to do it are Bethel and want to allow Bethel visitors. The problem is that the bed and breakfast is in a subdivision. A typical subdivision that, when you think of kids and bicycles and those types of things, that's what they're proposing, a bed and breakfast in the middle, not in the middle of the subdivision, but in the subdivision. And the six bed and breakfasts that are in Redding, four are on the river and two are on the bluffs. And they are traditional bed and breakfasts. The one that they're proposing is not what you would even consider traditional. And when these folks were asked, my question to them was, will you open your home, your bed and breakfast, to anyone? And they didn't answer the question. I wasn't really allowed to ask them the question, but the B&B isn't going to be open to the public. And that was my understanding. And then when they were asked, how much will you charge for, how much will you charge for a stay, they said, yeah, they may not charge some people. They may charge some people, they may not charge some people, which raised everyone up. And what I found particularly, I guess more frustrating than anything, is number one, the Planning Commission was there to make a decision. They had already, the staff had already given their approval for the bed and breakfast. And the Planning Commission was there to make the decision on whether or not this was good for the community. There was at least 40, 50 people in this meeting and who opposed the bed and breakfast. So while single-family residence does allow to have a B&B in that particular area, the Planning Commission had the discretion to say, was this good for that particular, was it good for the community? And there were enough people there who really said, you know, this is not a good thing. There's going to be cars, there's going to be traffic, there's going to be transient people in the area. And I don't mean transient in the sense of transient. I mean it just people coming and going. And there is, and they're going to have discriminatory practices. And yet two of the planning commissioners decided to approve it, and one of them said, you know, we'll let it go forward. So my issue is not that it's the Bethel Church or anyone associated with that. My issue is that this is a subdivision that has CC&Rs. And the CC&Rs, all of us signed, basically said this is a residential area. There will be no commercial building. There will be no signs. Yet the city discounts that. And they say, well, that's your recourse, basically.
The new piece of information you've given me, which I haven't read in the record searchlight, is that there are CC&Rs for this subdivision. I didn't know that. Is that you actually had to sign an agreement when you either bought or rented in there, or what?
I could barely hear you, but yes, when you buy the house, you have to get the CC&Rs, and that's part of the purchase. You have to agree to that to move into there.
And the CC&Rs would prohibit commercial use for a building there?
That is correct.
Or a house?
It's strictly residential. There can be no nuisances clearly outlined in the CC&Rs, and no signage, which they intend to have a sign. So there are a lot of restrictions. Their
now
own zoning prohibits a business, a commercial business. Now, the Planning Commission basically says this isn't really a commercial business. Well, it is, because they will be paying the TOT tax based on their income. And that...
We got like a minute left here.
But there's no restriction in the CC&Rs that would prevent the absentee owner of the property from renting it to, say, 10 college students, right?
Well, there is the city actually has landlord-tenant rules, and they do have laws for leasing to or renting to students. They have to have full access of the house, but they do have laws, and also there are penal code laws that will, you know, if it becomes a nuisance for the neighborhood, that, you know, of course you have to get the police involved and those types of things, and there are civil recourse there as well.
Hey,
but
Ruth,
it really
we've
is
got,
boiling down to...
We've got 30 seconds left, Ruth, so
okay.
Just
but
let you know.
It really
know.
Is boiling down to, you know, they're going to make us take this civil action.
So this is hearing from somebody that's in the neighborhood. And also you've given me some ideas. Ruth, we need to talk about, you know, what are these penal actions we can use in case somebody moves across the street with 800 people. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Join us after the news. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 7:34 in the morning. It's 45 degrees. It's raining. It's March 24th. Carl and Bott. Linda is on assignment, but Mark Beecham is my guest co-host. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. Today at Lumberjacks, or every day at Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they've got a soup and salad combo or soup and sandwich combos or salad and sandwich combos, all under $7.99. It's great food. It's a local business. Local people own it. It's great food, great service, and you can't ask for more in just the friendliness of the staff. That's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Okay, Mark, we have a guest here.
Yeah, Ken White of the Good News Rescue Mission has dropped by to talk about the mission's ongoing fundraiser called Food Fight.
The Food Fight.
And you may have noticed at the holiday markets and some other places around town, little plastic boxes on the checkout stand where you can put some change and things. And Ken and I were talking earlier this week about this campaign, and Carl just put in a, what is that, a nickel? A penny.
Those are quarters I'm dropping in there.
Big spender. And
here goes lunch.
We've got live microphones here. And he was talking about the idea of just scooping up all the change that, you know, some of the change that people have gotten in their homes, and it made me think, gosh, you know, I've got a whole, you know, bucket full of change at my house, mostly, you know, nickels and dimes and pennies, and it just doesn't go anywhere at all. And the idea of maybe scooping up some of that and taking it out to a holiday market and dumping it in the plastic box, or even calling Ken White and taking it down to the administrative headquarters of the mission. You know, the mission has got the mission does good work. I know some people would kind of wish that it would go away, and maybe Ken can address that issue. But the mission does do good work and tries to help people who are in need. And any of us, you know, God forbid, any of us could end up, you know, needing the mission's help. But anyway, Ken, could you talk a little bit about the campaign and
sure.
And also, if you wouldn't mind, maybe responding to this. Notion that the mission is somehow the source of a lot of the problems in our community.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. You know, we started 46 years ago on South Market Street, 3100 South Market Street, and they bought an old Victorian home that was there. In fact, I recently ran across somebody that lived in that home back in the day before it became the mission. And the interesting notion that I get from businesses that, you know, move in and find the homeless population or some people that mill around their businesses and so forth, they get frustrated thinking that we're the cause of those folks. But we located there 46 years ago because there was a need there 46 years ago, and there's still a need there 46 years later to serve people that are poor and homeless. And so, you know, the notion that the poor and homeless come to Reading because the mission is here is somewhat it's silly. I mean, yeah, there's people from the outlying areas that do come to the mission because there aren't any other facilities to serve those underserved communities. But the fact that, you know, the idea that we built it and then they came is a misnomer. And I understand the frustration, and that's the I think the underlying root is that, you know, people don't want their property disrespected. They want to build a better life and a better community. And I get that. And that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, we're trying to do that by empowering and enabling these people to build a better life for themselves. So
I, you know, was reminded of that sort of attitude or prejudice against the mission the other day when there was the officer shooting down on South Market Street, and I was downtown at the time, and I asked somebody, "Well, where did this happen?" And the landmark that they gave wasn't the smog shop where it happened in front of.
Right.
It was, it happened right next to the mission.
Right.
And I thought of you at the time. I thought, oh, poor Ken. I mean, whether this has got anything to do with the mission, whether the person involved had any connection to the mission or not, it's just become a handy sort of landmark.
Well, we have become a landmark of sorts in the community, and that's a good thing. You know, people that have lived here a while know we're here. They know where they can go for help. They know where they can send people for help. And so that's a good thing. And the fact that people could, you know, in a tragedy, point to the mission as a place where something might be happening. Actually, you know, I'll look at it from the glass half full point of view and say, hey, that's good. People know we're here, and they know where they can get some help.
Okay, I know we got to take a break here, but maybe when we come back, you can talk a little bit more about the fundraiser.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we want to talk about the fundraiser, what people can do to help, the assistance that's required right now.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 7:40 in the morning, March the 24th. It's 45 degrees out there, and it is raining. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 7:43 in the morning, March the 24th. Carl Lindebaugh. Linda's on assignment. Mark Beecham's here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And if you are out today, do yourself a favor. Drop in there to Espresso Joe's. Get yourself a great cup of coffee. It'll just warm your innards at a great price. They give discounts to veterans there also. Check out that great walk-in humidor and enjoy the people there at Tobacco and Brew, which is really important. They're very friendly. They do everything they can to help you. And Joe and Shelly, that own Tobacco and Brew, are really big in our community. They support our community. They support our veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. My co-host today, Mark Beecham, has been here with us several times and has stood in for us when we're gone, and we are always glad to have Mark aboard. And Mark's brought our latest guest here from the Good News Mission. So
appreciate you guys having me, Carl.
I guess we have a call from Jay, who wants to talk about the mission.
Jay, you're on.
Good morning, again. Hey, you know, I drive a lot of people to and from the mission, and I've seen a lot of the good work that you guys do, and I wanted to thank you for that on behalf of the community, because, you know, I've seen a lot of people who aren't necessarily homeless just got stranded because maybe a flight was canceled or a bus couldn't go through because of the weather, and they have nowhere to go. And I take them to you, and you guys take care of them. So I've seen a lot of the benefits that the mission has done.
I appreciate that, Jay. We're like I said, we're happy to be here and to help people in need. And you know, it's because of the community and their support that we're able to do what we do. So thanks to you, too.
Well, I'm very, very proud of you guys. I do have one question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but the only complaint I've ever heard about the place is that a lot of the people that you help have a tendency to steal from some of the other people. Have you taken any actions to help stop that or slow that down? I mean, it's not you guys, but some of the people trying to help take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, you know, we do get complaints about vagrants and folks in the community that maybe aren't abiding by the rules. Some have legitimate concerns about people that may be staying with us, and sometimes they're not. They're misdirected. But in those cases where we know we've got somebody with us that is misbehaving, not abiding by the rules, and maybe disrespecting other people's property or that sort of thing, we try and take corrective action. And if people bring it to our attention, we'll try and deal with it internally, and a lot of times we'll deny services to folks that just refuse to behave. And so we definitely have a good neighbor policy. In fact, if anybody ever has a situation where they feel like somebody that may be staying at the mission has wronged them in some way, whether it be through theft or vandalism or something like that, especially if they file a police report, please get us a copy of the police report or the report number and let us know who the persons were involved. And we'll do our best to try and be a good neighbor and enforce the rules and take corrective action where we can.
Well, once again, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot, but you do great work, and thank you again.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity to respond. Thank you. You too, Jay.
Ken, I had a sort of follow-up related question, and that is with the economy, we're in the fourth or fifth year of a local recession, depending on how you look at the numbers. Has the typical client of the mission changed because of this recession? Are you seeing more people who, you know, aren't necessarily the victims of, say, drug abuse or alcoholism or mental illness showing up, just people who have lost their homes due to foreclosure or their jobs or economic conditions?
In some ways, yes, we have. And in other ways, no. What's been interesting to watch has been the community kind of meet those needs before they get to the mission. And I have kind of cautioned both our leadership at the mission and community leaders that we do have potentially a big wave of familial homelessness, and I've talked to you about that, on the way. And, you know, I think Redding and the greater Shasta community has a really, you know, robust safety net system in place. You know, we've got pretty healthy social services in terms of health and human services and local government assistance and things like that. And there are, you know, on any given day, somewhere between 20 and 70 different agencies, churches, and community organizations that get out and actually help with a Project Homeless Connect coming up in May. I think last year when they did that, the second one last year, there were 70 different vendors, if you will, out to help people in need. And that's just it's just an amazing thing to see in a community of our size, to see that kind of community support. So, you know, I have to say that we've been blessed so far to not have that huge wave that a lot of other communities are seeing hit us at the mission. But I do think that if the community, if the economy continues to lag, that we will see that shortly.
And you also are facing a lot of government cutbacks at the state level.
Yes.
To balance the budget.
And that's putting pressure on us. And like I said, as those safety nets start to dwindle and go away, that will put more pressure on us at the mission, definitely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about the food fight and what we can do to help with that.
You guys keep teasing on that, don't
and,
you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I keep bringing it up.
I like it.
Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, 7:50 in the morning. It's raining out there, my friends. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:52 in the morning, March the 24th, 45 degrees. It's going to be raining today. We're going to have lots of wind. The weather report's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. They're going to have a lot of music out there this weekend. Charles Rona, 474-5546. It's a good place to go to get out of the weather, get great food, have great service. That's in Ensemble's Vineyards. Again, give them a call at 474-5546. Guest co-host today is Mark Beecham. And we have the Good News Rescue Mission. And we're going to talk about the food fight.
Yeah, we are.
Now.
Now we're going to talk about the food fight. What do you want to know? I mean, it is...
Only thing I think, when you say food fight, I think of John Belushi with a mouthful of of cottage cheese.
you might see something like that before this is over. You know, we're really excited to launch something new this year. We've traditionally, for the last 10 years, run something called the March to End Hunger. And we've been seeing declining results, and the weather's been absolutely pitiful. It was a one-day event down at the convention center. And last year we got hit with what we thought was a freak thunderstorm and just about blew us away, and with just declining results. And this year we decided, let's try something different, and thank goodness we did, because, man, winter just won't go away. So we launched a food fight, and it's not something that we came up with on our own. We actually borrowed the idea and the concept from another mission back east. And the concept is just a kind of a play on words. The goal is really to raise money. We took a little heat right at first about the idea of actually hosting a food fight. We are using that as a teaser for the schools to get involved and offering an actual food fight to schools if they're the top two schools or top two classrooms to join us in this endeavor and raise the most money. And so, but. Just like the movies, when you see the little disclaimer that says no animals were harmed in the making of this movie, no edible food will be used in the making of our food fight. So, the cool thing about the food fight is it's super easy. All you have to do, if you're at holiday markets or some of the other businesses in town that you might see it, we even have the Cardiovascular Center, Dr. Kahn's involved. Simpson College is getting involved. We've got these little canisters that you see them at the cash registers all the time, and they've just got this nice bright green sign on them that says Food Fight. Our goal is 60,000 meals in 60 days, and we launched this March 1st. We're going to stop April 30th. We'll pick up all the receptacles and count our change and see how we did. And so, again, it's just a real super, super easy way to get involved. And if you got extra change or want to make a donation, you can even bring it in to us at the offices down on South Market. Or you can, here we go, Carl. Carl's getting involved. There you go, dropping in more change there. See, it sounds kind of hollow. I'll leave it here and you guys can fill it up.
You have to give it over to Mark Beecham, because this man is of independent wealth.
Now, see, you know, here's what you're going to do. Every day I'm going to be listening in, and I want to hear that start to get full. That's what I want to do. So that's just real simple. It's a fundraiser. The goal is to, again, raise enough money to the equivalent of about 60,000 meals over the next 60 days and go from there.
What does it cost the mission to provide one meal?
Well, we estimate, you know, when you include some of the other things that go into preparing a meal and actually serving a person, about $2.25. And that's an estimate that we came up with years ago. We adjusted a little bit for inflation a couple of years ago, but came up with years ago as an average of, you know, other missions and things like that. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you help a person with a meal, you're doing more than just providing the meal. We really encourage people with the idea that really what you're offering is more than food. It's, you know, you're going to sustain their life, but you're also offering them hope and a hand up and an opportunity to kind of regain control of their lives and lead a life of productivity and, and independence, whereas before, you know, again, if you're out on the street, you're really dependent on the, you know, the resources that are available to you.
What kind of corporate sponsorship have you gotten or help in putting the food fight on?
Oh, it's been, you know, it's been an absolute blessing. A Mercy Medical Center donated money to help us buy the receptacles to go out into all the businesses, and we're really grateful to them. Mount Shasta Springwater, which I guess you guys have a guest from there coming on here pretty soon.
He'll be coming on next hour.
Yeah, they donated almost 300 receptacles, the big 5-gallon jugs. You know, they got their used and brokens, and they donated those for us. And we've got over 100 of those already placed in schools all over the community, as far away as Fall River Mills, which it's kind of cool because my dad graduated from high school up there. So nice to see them involved clear out on the you know, east side of Shasta County. So a lot of different businesses have jumped on, and Holiday Market is probably one of the biggest. We'll be out there next week, you know, as part of this campaign, and so it's just really neat to see the community get involved in this. And this being our first year, we're excited. I think this is something that's going to carry forward into the coming years and grow and get bigger, and you know, it's just really exciting to see. Last week alone, just to give you an example, went out and gathered up the receptacles from several of the schools, and we gathered $1,300, almost $1,400 in just about a week and a half. So really excited about the results on this and excited to see what these kids can do.
Well, like I said earlier, I think everybody within the sound of my voice has got a bowl, a box, a bag, a big container full of change at home, and it's not doing you any good, and it's not doing anybody any good, so... You know, scoop up a portion of it and take it to Holiday Market next Friday.
Market. Yeah, we'll be up at the Holiday Market on the 1st from 11 to 1. We'll have a booth up there, and it'll be.
So do you leave these in other businesses too?
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I can't name them all, but like I said, we've got about 25 to 30 of these things in the different holiday markets. All 5 holiday markets, including the Save More down on Westside Road, are involved, and we've got one at every register. We've got them at several businesses in town. Like I said, you know, even businesses like Cardiovascular Center and so forth. So yeah, it's been a really neat thing to see people come on board with this.
Great. Maybe you leave one here.
Okay, yeah.
Of course,
like you said,
with the pirates I have around here, I'm not sure how much will be left at the end of it, you know. But we'll probably stuff it and empty it 2 or 3 times before we give it back to you. But
that sounds good to me.
We'll try to stuff it first.
Yeah.
You think that little lock makes any difference to my producers? They'll cut out the bottom with a blowtorch.
So I'll be listening. No. I'll be listening every morning.
Go.
I want to hear that sound.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a break here for the news. Thank you so much for coming in and telling
Thank
us about the food fight.
Me.
And we're going to see what we can to do to help this.
Appreciate
Linda Bott. Linda's on. So I'm at Mark Beecham's here with me. It is March the 24th. It's raining outside. Join us after the news.
More coming up next hour on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:05 on March the 24th. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment because she has On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. That's right. She's getting ready for that. She's got a number of great guests coming in, talking theater, and they're going to be talking music again big time. So she's got that tonight beginning at 6 p.m. But now let's talk a little bit about the weather. Bad Bob, let's catch up with weather.
Yes, we're seeing gusts right now somewhere in the 30-40 mile an hour range. That will be continuing throughout the morning. Heavy thunderstorms this afternoon, rain throughout the day, and flooding down on the rivers. It's just a bad moon on the rise there. So if you don't have to be out, please don't do so. Right now it is about 46 degrees. And the weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right, Anselmo Vineyards is going to have music out there this week. Give them a call, and they will provide reservations. They're going to have music, I believe, on Friday, and they're going to have great food, and it's a great atmosphere, and to get you out of the rain, just give them a call at 474-5546. My guest host today, Mark Beecham, he's a well-known gentleman around town, writes and blogs for the Record Searchlight, has stood in for us very, very well so many times when Linda and I are not around. And our next guest, as we're going to talk about again, one of our local businesses, is Kevin Henningfeld from Mount Shasta Springwater.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Carl.
Excuse
me. I was thinking Bob.
Okay, get up in there close. Okay, we're got
Bob's the drop.
Bob's the drop.
Bob the drop.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know what, you were you're the sales director out there, and you were walking through here one day and say, hey, can I do anything, you know, to make things better here? Because we use Mount Shasta here, and you all right. take care of our water, our coffee, you know,
right.
Peanuts and things like that. So I just said, you know what, we don't really know a lot about Mount Shasta spring water. So talk to us a little bit about where it started, where it comes from, and just something about it.
Yeah. Well, back in 88 is when the company was conceived. Where our springs are located up there in Mount Shasta Springwater. Up in city of Mount Shasta.
Which is well known around the world for its high quality water.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, people that have actually come from the East Coast back in the old days and that would come up and get the water. They would come over from the East Coast and take the water back. There's those stories. So it is.
And a lot of bottled water, if you go to the supermarket these days, whatever, you get, water, but it's actually water from a municipal facility down in Southern California someplace. It's not actually from a spring like what you offer, right?
Yeah, we go 291 feet down at our location. And that water originates from the glaciers. Our aquifer produces 4,000 to 6,000 gallons a minute. That water does originate from the glaciers.
How many customers do you have around the North Sea?
Well, right now we're at about 13,000.
Wow. And that's residential as well as commercial, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you provide more than just water, like we said. You have other services,
yes,
too, that
you
do.
Yes, we have a coffee service, which entails a lot of things. As you mentioned, peanuts and soups is, of course, a real big seller, and cream and sugar, of course. And we have an array of coffee all the way from Folgers to Starbucks, Pete's, high-end coffees, yeah.
Okay, look, I tell you, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Kevin Henningfeld, and he's from Mount Shasta Springwater. We're here, we're here to talk about water and spring water and learn a little bit more about one of our local businesses here. It's Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:09. Happy news. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Bob, I have no idea which happened. That one is. It's 8:12 in the morning, and it's March 24th. It's raining. It's going to be heavy winds today. It's 46 right now. It's not going to get any better, my friend. So just, kind of batten down there and enjoy the day. Kind of learn to like the rain. Our guest, Linda's on assignment, but Mark Beecham is here as my very, very good co-host. Great. Can I use the word great? Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay.
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion, but, it's my show, so that counts. If we take a 60%, a poll, 65% think that my opinion, if it's my show, should count something. Unfortunately, none of those are the people that know me or work here or have shows here. Okay, our guest today, Kevin Henningfeld from Mount Shasta Springwater. When we left last time, Kevin, we're going to talk a little bit more about Mount Shasta Springwater. The thing is, it comes from out of the earth. People used to come from the East Coast, bottle it, and take it back, and the water is pure.
Yeah. We go 291 feet down to an aquifer that produces 4,000 to 6,000 gallons a minute, and that's real important because the mineral content is very consistent all year round. Where when levels change, whether it be in the earth, that wells or rivers, it will pick up different mineral content and change. Your quality will change, but ours stays the same. It originates from the glaciers on top of Mount Shasta. We hire geologists to find that out. That's not our own thing. We actually hire geologists. When we bring it up, we don't take anything out of it. We don't put anything into it. We run it through a 5 and a 1 micron filter that takes out dirt and dust that the pump might suck up. And then from there, we bottle it. We do run it through an ozonation tank, which is something the state requires for, as a preservative. It's a high concentrate of oxygen. Once it sits for 24 hours, it goes back down to regular oxygen, regular H2O. From there we bottle it and deliver it within about 4 days. So yeah, it's as fresh as can be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that their bottled water that they might get at a big box store or something like that actually comes from a municipal water source in a big area like Los Angeles or Dallas or Houston or something like that.
They may have great names, but they come from the water lines of Dallas.
It's just it's just tap water, basically.
Yeah, it is. They, in fact, I was reading one label on a bottle, and it came from, I think it was Hayward down in the Bay Area. But it was bottled right there. It was a municipality. And I looked at the label on the side, and it said that it ran it through a carbon filtration and bottled at the source, which was in the middle of the Bay Area. So that virtually nothing was done to the water. And yeah, the quality of water can, I mean, all they have to do is put on the label where it comes from and what they do. And some of the water's no better than your tap water, that's for sure.
Low to Hayward, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, we know that people don't drink enough water. And the fact that, you know, most people are dehydrated.
Yeah, most Americans are dehydrated all the time, and we don't drink enough water. I think just over the years, we've gotten into advertisements, you know, Coke, Pepsi, you know, and that sort of thing. There's a lot of that that has gone on over the years, and that's we've just gotten away from water. And it's really too bad because water's the first most important thing we need to drink for good health. And it's amazing what it does for you. I mean, even kids, it kind of dilutes sugars and caffeines and stuff, and it can really calm down your kids. Of course, our hot summers up here, it's extremely important to stay hydrated. And, of course, drinking a good, clean water promotes it. Having our service in your home actually promotes drinking water because you see it every day. I mean, you walk out in the kitchen, your bottled water's right there. And it
just to let you on. I mean, this is, I don't know if this is a disclaimer. We use Mount Shasta spring water here, which is what started this.
Yes, and
but we also use it in our home. And I tell you right, we do not drink enough of that because you end up, drinking something else. Linda, every night, though, has a big glass of water right there by the bedside. Halfway through the night, she drinks.
Yeah, and that's one of the best times to drink water because, it kind of dilutes your system a little bit. It calms you down, and truly, I mean, caffeines and sugars that we might consume during the day, again, dilutes that, and it calms it down, and you tend to sleep better. It's really amazing. It truly is amazing.
Kevin, how much does it cost to have your bottled water at home?
Well, you know, the easiest thing to say is $20. I mean, you can literally get a couple of bottles delivered actually for less than $20. And we have a program where you pay advance rent on any dispenser that we have. That lowers, of course, the bottle price. But an average use, an industry average, has been 2 bottles for the longest time.
2 bottles a month?
Correct. Thank you. And that would be, 5-gallon bottles. And excuse me, and that again would run you less than $20 a month. Really, you can get it in the house for that. Now, of course, during the summer and the winter, that usage will vary, but it's just again, it's kind of an average. When it comes to cost, one of the things I like to mention is that anything that you purchase in the store, Cokes, Pepsi, juices, tea, Kool-Aids, Capris, all those things cost more, easily double more than our water. It costs more. All that costs more. And again, you know, drinking water is the most important thing to stay hydrated.
And you don't have a bunch of little plastic bottles you're carrying around,
which
fill up the landfills. I mean, I've got a whole story on the show on that one. But
that's an interesting question. You only deliver water in these big 5-gallon containers. You don't have bottled water, right?
Well, you know, I almost hit the minute, but yes, we do. We don't bottle it ourselves. That's something different. I mean, the cost of a bottling facility for those 0.5 liters would be, you know, huge. And we can't compete with the big boys. But I'm proud to say that we don't actively pursue that. We don't. We do fill them. We have a middleman, or we're the middleman. We have somebody else fill them, put our labels on them. And we do that mostly, Bill does that mostly for donations.
Okay. All right. Hey, our guest has been Kevin Hennefeld. Any last things, Kevin, here you want to talk about? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, if you'd like to get some water today or tomorrow, the next day, again, my name is Kevin. My cell number is 941-1281. Probably the easiest way is to call our 800 number, 922-6227. Any one of the girls in the office can help you. We've got a great route sales staff. And that would probably be the easiest way.
Any last thoughts here on this?
I think we pretty much covered anything. You know, I guess one real important thing we haven't covered, we're a local company. when you spend a dollar with our company, a portion of that dollar goes right back into the community. We donate to veterans organizations, the high schools, Women Refuge. In fact, there was a gentleman that just left here.
Yeah, good news rescue mission that you all donate to.
That's right. And he just thanked us for this big donation. Quite frankly, I have to say, I wasn't aware of it. But Bill does a lot of this. He does a huge amount of this.
Well, you know, this is a real important part. This is a local business. You know, we use local businesses as much as possible. We're glad we do. And this is something to support. I mean, instead of going out and buying water bottled in Hayward, California.
Yeah, right.
You can get natural water delivered to your house, 5 gallons, 10 gallons at a time. Use all that water you want. It's a local business, and the money stays here. And you know
that's
it comes
right.
from a facility that's right here that you all don't mind taking people through.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's clean
correct.
Water. You don't add anything. This is just natural water from the glaciers right here at Mount Shasta.
That's correct. It's 50 miles up the road. The water gets bottled and delivered within 4 days. But that is the amazing thing. We are here in the North State. We are one of the only companies. We're only one of the only neighborhoods, communities that live this close to a bottling facility of such great water. It's just amazing the water that comes off that mountain, and it's right here, available to all of us. So it's very.
Well,
yeah.
Very hey, Kevin, important. Thanks a lot for coming by here. I know that you're a little bit nervous, but you did great.
Thanks a lot. I am a little nervous.
No, I know that, but you did great. And
thank
this is
you, Carl.
Kevin Henningfeld from Mount Shasta Springwater, great water, local company, and you can find them online. And you can find them.
Again, my cell number 941-1281. I'll take care of it today. And again, thank you, Carl. God bless you and God bless America.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:22 in the morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:25 in the morning, March the 24th. It is 46 degrees. It's a raining. It's a windy out there. Linda's on assignment. She's got On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight, starting at 6 p.m. My co-host, Mark Beecham. And we've got like four things we want to talk about. Here's the one thing I really want to talk about, though, is bringing the people, bringing the criminals, letting them out of jail and bringing them back to the county. It was on the front page. We've had Jim Nielsen talking about it. We've had so many articles, so much commentary on it about how they're going to turn people loose out of the state facilities. Penal facilities, send them back to the county. And as they say at the state level, it's going to save the state a lot of money and then let the county, you know, have a say in what goes on. Sheriff Tom DeSenko says, wait, they're not sending any money with us, and we're already at 90% capacity.
Well, they've already closed a third of the jail.
That's right. And so if they start doing this, they send these people back, where do they go to? You know, the money they were supposed to send, they're already $150,000 late sending it to Shasta County, and there's other places they're a lot later on. So what do we do with these criminals that they're turning loose and they're coming back to Shasta County? If we, you know, the probation department can't handle it, and the sheriff can't put them in jail, well, what happens next?
Well, what's the nature, what kind of offenses have these people committed? Are these nonviolent crimes, maybe drug use, other crimes that maybe have not...
Burglary?
Well, I don't know.
Things like that. That's a good question.
Do we know? I mean, it sounds really ominous. Oh, they're letting these people out of state prison. But if they're people who are there for perhaps nonviolent drug use or other nonviolent crimes, perhaps it's not quite as bad as we might think.
I think that the sheriff was here, and also Peter Hansen, that it's not all like that. There are some. But I mean, you look at house burglaries, and you're looking at cars being, you know, is car theft, a violent crime? Is a burglary a violent crime? Or what does it do? Is it keep, you know, going up? Are there assault, you know, guys that have committed assault? Have they, I don't know about armed robbery, but...
Well, clearly those are violent crimes.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you bring back 400 or 500 people into this county, and there's no place to incarcerate them, then you have to take the lesser ones here at the jail, I would imagine, and let them out on the streets. As it is, it's a revolving door on the weekends anyway.
Yeah, catch and release is how I call it.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking is that, you know, what is the whole purpose behind this? And, you know, the fact is that if this tax or the extension of the fees don't go through, if it doesn't, if it's not, a, you know, if it's not passed in a vote, then $3 million is being cut out of the budget for our sheriff office and the police right here in Shasta County. And then at the same time, does that mean we get these other people? We're already short 25 service officers and other officers.
Well, it's tough times. I mean, the state is dealing with a severe budget crunch, and the governor is trying to cut money wherever he can, and the prisons, you know, should they be exempt? Can they be exempt? We spend more money on prisons in this state than we do on higher education. So what do you do? I mean, you just say, okay, that's off limits, and we cut everything else? Or do you make some adjustments in the prison budget?
Well, I think you're going to have to do something with the prison budget, and I think you need to take a look also. I mean, right now, the California, University of California system is getting ready to cut out over 10,000 students because they got a $500 million cut in their education. Yet at the same time, they're getting ready to, and we've got a minute left, they're introducing a bill to allow illegals to get Cal Grant funding for school. And, you know, to me, this whole thing is how can you on one hand give away taxpayer money to people that are here illegally, and the other thing shut down prisons because it costs too much, and then send them back to the counties that are already strapped for cash. This whole thing to me is just a morass. Anyway. Okay, I feel better now. Not that I've done anything to do it, but you know, I mean, this kind of thing is just we're going down this river that's at flood stage, and I don't see anybody out there with a life raft or a life rings. Hey, Carl and Linda Bob, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It is 8:30. Join us after these messages. KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media, 8:34 in the morning, March the 24th. It's 46 degrees out there. It's raining. It's not going to get any better. Linda's on assignment. She is getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight at 6 p.m. A lot of theater, a lot of music, a lot of girl stuff that we talk about or she talks about on there. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue. It is not underwater. It is there. It is open for business. They give great haircuts, and they give discounts to veterans, D.C. Tim, and Man in Black. Man's Last Stronghold. Man's Last Stronghold. Great place for conversations, great places for haircuts. Cypress Square Barbershop, Athens Avenue. My co-host today is Mark Beecham, and, you know, and Mark had thrown out this subject, and I kind of went, and then he explained it to me, and now Bad Bob had to pull me off the ceiling. Mark, please, share it with our listeners.
Okay, everybody remembers Stillwater Business Park, that $70 million boondoggle out near the airport. Well, this has been a project 10 years in the making. It's finally finished, so whether or not you agree with it or not, it's out there, and we would like to see it fill up with businesses. Well, the only business that's expressed any interest in this so far is a company that's actually in town already called Southern Aluminum Finishing. And the city, in its infinite wisdom, has given Southern Aluminum Finishing a parcel at Stillwater Business Park. If Southern Aluminum Finishing, SAF, meets certain employment benchmarks over the next few years, I think they have to provide, at the end of a number of years, they have to have 50 jobs. If they do that, then the city will forgive the loan on this property. So SAF will get this land for free. Jobs. Land for jobs. That was the deal. Well, they're about ready, I guess, to begin construction out there. And I got kind of curious. Well, what is the real estate commission on a free parcel at Stillwater Business Park? The city has, for the past 2.5 years, contracted with a guy named John Troughton of Cushman and Wakefield. He's out of the Bay Area, to market the lots at Stillwater Business Park.
So this is not even a local firm.
Right, but John has been out supposedly beating the bushes trying to get clients to look at and potentially buy property out at Stillwater. Well, it turns out Southern Aluminum Finishing was not one of the prospects that he had identified. It's already in town. They had been in touch with Les Melberg, our local architect. Les Melberg brought Southern Aluminum Finishing to the city and then to the council and effectively greased the wheels for this deal. So I thought, well, it'd be kind of interesting to know if Mr. Troughton of Cushman & Wakefield is going to get a commission on this alleged, or this sale, in air quotes, at Stillwater Business Park. So I emailed Kurt Starman, and I said, I'm curious, is Mr. Troughton going to get a commission on this giveaway of free land? And if so, how much is it? And if so, who's going to pay it? Well, Kurt Starman wrote me back. Kurt's very good at sending emails back. And he said, yes, in fact, Mr. Troughton is going to get a commission on this sale. And the value of the city has attached to this property is $1.8 million. The 6% commission on that $1.8 million works out to be about $111,000. And that's what Mr. Troughton is going to earn on the giveaway of free land.
For something he didn't sell.
For something he did not sell. And I
not local.
And
it's not a local guy.
And I said, Kurt, where is this money coming from? And Kurt said, the Reading Redevelopment Agency, which in my mind is yet more evidence that Jerry Brown is right. And the redevelopment agencies all over the state are just a slush fund for giveaways to connected people with city and county governments. It's in my view, this is an absolute, you know, it's like every time I look at Stillwater Business Park, I feel like something out of a Lewis Carroll fairy tale. It's like it just gets stranger and stranger and stranger. And this is the backstory surrounding our free land at Stillwater Business Park that this existing company is going to get. It's not a company coming in from out of the area. It's a company that is already here, that is going to move from where it already is out to a new facility at Stillwater, free land and discounted electric service.
And on top of that, $110,000 to the realtor who managed to sign this up. I guess one of
he didn't sign it up.
No, I meant the company that signed on to sell all the real estate out there. He didn't sell it.
We'll earn a commission for a prospect that, to my knowledge, he did not identify or bring to the council. That was brought to the council by Les Melberg, who was going to coincidentally get the architectural contract to build the new plant out there. So I was going to say that maybe Mr. Melberg deserves to get a cut of this, but he's already getting a cut of it.
Well, you know, the thing is I think when you, I guess it's if you list a house and then somebody, or a piece of property, and then somebody from another agency sells it, you two split the commission. At least you would think is that since they have, quote, the listing, that, but they didn't sell it, they would only get half of that instead of all of it. And here's the other thing. Here's the other scary thing before we take our break is there's lots of other land out there. So if I say I find somebody, say I go, hey, you know what? I go into the city and say, I want to set up a facility.
A radio station.
I want to set up a radio station or a production facility out there. It's going to be, I need this much land. You give me the land. You know, we're going to set this up. And they say, great. And I set up the exact same thing. I come to them. Does this company out of San Francisco still get, and I take land that's worth $3 million, do they get a commission on $3 million then, paid out of some kind of funding that we have here to redevelop us?
I would say yes.
There's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. Well, and which is what you're saying. I take great Carl in the bot. Carl's here dumbfounded. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We got to take a quick break here. It is 8:41 in the morning on March the 24th. Here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. It is 8:45 in the morning on March the 24th. Linda's on assignment. Mark Beecham is my guest host, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Fine coffee on a day like today. They do a lot for our community. They support our community. They support our veterans, Joe and Shelley. That's Tobacco and Brew. Great people there. Great coffee, finest walk-in humidor in the state. Go visit them. Like I said, Mark Beecham is our guest today, and we've got a lot of different things to talk about. But during the break, we started talking about moving Costco and the police station being, and the police using that as a refitted police station. Okay, your turn.
Well, again, I have a hard time understanding this deal because it boils down, and the way I look at it, it boils down to subsidizing Costco, buying a piece of property that they don't want so that they can move to Oasis Road to anchor a new shopping center that Reading doesn't need. And we're going to end up, and the city council has tentatively agreed to a deal with Costco to buy that property, buy Costco's property, and they signed a deed that restricts the use of that property at any future point by any big box or other similar retailer, which would in any way compete with Costco in this market.
Is that forever
market.
Or is that for just several years?
I don't know the detail.
Yeah, I thought it was for several years. Okay.
And my question is, why should the city of Reading be buying a piece of property from Costco? Costco is a profitable, large company. Why should the city of Reading be buying a piece of property from Costco? If Costco wants to move, let Costco move. Don't subsidize the move and try to direct where it's going to go.
Well, I understand that. When Costco was going to move, one way or the other. The question is did we want to keep it within, when I say we the city, that's kind of the royal we, wanted to keep it within the city limits as opposed to having it moved to someplace, say, out in the county for tax purposes. Wasn't that one of the things?
Then work with the county on a tax-sharing agreement.
Well, that's come up several times, and that's never, I mean, we can talk about that, and we can say, hey, that seems like a good idea, but until it comes into fruition, that's like pie in the sky.
Well, until we do, we're going to keep coming back to this corporate welfare mentality, which is very, very much ingrained in this community, and we don't have the money for it anymore. Our streets, our jail, our other core services are suffering in part because of all this corporate welfare that's going on.
Well, you know, that may be and corporate welfare is a catchphrase, but we know we need two things. One, we need to keep the tax base that Costco brings us in the city, someplace where we can, you know, still gain that amount of money. And two, we need a new police station. Building one from scratch is going to cost us twice as much, if not more, than putting one and refitting it into a building. According to Hansen, that this Costco works out for them. Now, the idea of, you know, how much money should we pay into Costco and all that, I agree with. You know, it's the kind of thing that they are, you know, a profitable company. They don't want to have another big box store if they move, but I don't know how long that, you know, that's in the contract. Maybe it's forever. How much money should we help them with? How much money are we getting back from them would be a question I'd like to know as far as jobs, taxes, all that. And then if they just moved on their own and we left the building there, how long would it take to fill that building if we weren't going to move the police station? I don't know. I mean, but it makes no difference, I guess. I see, you know, listening to what, you know, some of the people said, they look at it as a trade and being able to use redevelopment money for this.
Well, I just think it is a waste of money, and why should we be subsidizing the activities of profitable firms, whether it's Lithia or Costco? Why should the city of Reading be subsidizing buying property that these companies don't want or don't have any use for anymore?
That's a good point. We've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Linda's on assignment, getting ready for tonight On the Spot with Linda Bott. My guest co-host, Mark Beecham, and as usual, Mark comes up with some really good questions that the City Hall ought to try to address is, why are we using our money to, what was that, corporate welfare? Join us after these messages.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:52 in the morning, March 24th. 46 degrees, it's raining, it's going to be raining all day. Linda's on assignment. She'll be back, though, for On the Spot with Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His number is 244-1988. He's a local guy. He's been in the business since 1985, except the time he took out to be a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne. He guarantees his work. He does it fast. He does it professionally, and he guarantees it. That's 244-1988. Don't call the 800 number. That's somebody from another part of the world. Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite. My guest co-host for the today has been Mark Beecham. And Mark has brought up, you know, several different topics that it leaves you scratching your head going, why are we doing that? Which is really interesting. Why are we doing some of these things? But why are we into this fight in Libya?
I was going to ask you that question. Why are we doing this? I mean, isn't there that old saying about the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Is that how it goes?
Something like that.
Well, okay, Muammar Gaddafi is not a great guy. There's no question about that. But the people who want him out, some of them, as far as I can tell, are actually affiliated with Al-Qaeda, which is a subsidiary of Osama bin Laden. So does that make Osama bin Laden our friend? If the enemy of our enemy, Gaddafi, is
Which is a Middle Eastern saying. Here's what I don't understand. You know, I mean, first of all, you know, our military, again, is doing a great job, just doing what they're told. From what I understand, they were not crazy about this job. In fact, Secretary of Defense Gates said, no, we're not going to get into that. And then, of course, the triumphant that got to President Obama last, Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and I think somebody else, that, you know, were saying that we need to do this to save civilians. So let's put a no-fly zone up. Well, first of all, you know, Gaddafi's aircraft and their jets and everything are just decades old. How many of them are really, you know, usable? The other thing, he was using contract aviators to fly a lot of the missions. And even then, the commandant of the Marine Corps said it's not so much the jets, you know, it's the helicopters. He's got some attack helicopters that, you know, you're concerned about, and it's difficult to take out helicopters with a no-fly zone when you're flying thousands of feet up in the air. The bottom line, though, is when you get into a no-fly zone, then we get into attacking ground targets. You have to take out the command and control. You have to take out their air defenses, you know, maybe power stations. And we come out and we say we have not killed any civilians. Well, of course, that's – how can you know that? Anytime you drop bombs and you shoot 161 Tomahawks into an area, I can't help but think that maybe there could be a casualty out there, you know, somebody maybe walking by, you know. So to say that we haven't hit anybody is naive at best. The cost of this, and I wrote a blog on it yesterday, is right now, I mean, we're pushing $1 billion. Every one of those Tomahawks was $1 million right there. Flying, you know, the jet that crashed, the F-15, that right there is close to $100 million. And just keeping this going, just to keep it going, $50 to $100 million a week. Just for the no-fly zone, if there's nobody else is shooting at you.
This is, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the third conflict that the United States has gotten involved with in less than 10 years. Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Libya. We're behaving as though we were still a rich country, which we no longer are. We have a national debt that is topping $15 trillion. We're the world's biggest debtor nation. And we're beholden to China. Our social safety net programs, whether it's Social Security or Medicare, are having a Thelma Louise moment. We're gunning it toward the edge of the cliff. And yet we seem to find infinite amount of money to go in on these military adventures into these countries where we don't really understand the politics, the territory of the folks that we're allegedly trying to help. Just like we got into the mess in Iraq and we didn't understand the Shiites and the Sunni division. And we've had to deal with that for almost 8 years.
Eight years now and then in Afghanistan. So now we've got two wars going on and people seem to forget there are still things going on in Iraq where we lose people and it spends a lot of money. Of course, Afghanistan's a big fight. But I don't understand, you know, I don't cheer on President Obama and a lot of things, but when he does things that I agree with and I think it's right, you know, I give him credit. I was giving him credit to keeping us out of this thing, and then now we've leaped into it, and you know, now we're having problems about handing it off, you know, in a correct manner, and you know, and I don't, you know, the bottom line is we're taking sides in a fight that we're not sure, as you said, who's on the other side. Now we're going after their tanks. And my first question about a no-fly zone is, fine, you can make a no-fly zone. That doesn't do anything about their artillery, tanks, and troops, which is what will win the battle. And now it seems like now we're going after them.
Yeah, here's something else. The other day I heard Dennis Kucinich on the radio, and I hate it when I agree with Dennis Kucinich because I think the guy is a socialist, but he said something I thought that was absolutely I couldn't disagree with, and that was that Obama got involved in this without taking it to Congress in any way, shape, or form. He didn't consult Congress, didn't get a vote, didn't get a sense of the Congress on whether this was a good idea or not. And Kucinich said this is a violation of the Constitution. And, I hate when I have to agree with Dennis Kucinich, but in this case, I do.
Well, it's...
Are we going to be into Libya with ground troops, do you think, Carl?
Well, you know what? I would say right now, no. But then again, they've got the forces of Marines. There's 2,400 Marines out there in Amu. That what happens if they're saying, oh, my God, the slaughter is still going on. You can't stop it. We need to set up a safe zone. Oh, my... Okay. Well, who's going to do that? Well, it isn't going to be the Italians or the French. It's going to be a bunch of Marines coming in there and kicking in the door. So, are we going to get in there? I don't know. It's something that we'll be following real close, because another war, we're already stretched thin. How much more stretching can we take?
We can't afford to be the world's policeman any longer.
Well, you know, it's a type of thing. Is how well thought out was it? What's the mission and what's our exit strategy out of this one? Hey, we gotta leave. Hey, tomorrow the new CEO of Shasta Women's Refuge is going to be our guest tomorrow. We can't wait to talk to her. Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio. Listen to Linda tonight on the Spot with Lindebaugh. Thank you so much, Mark, for being our guest today.
Thank you, always
appreciate you being here. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.